Welcome to PTW Office Hours, where we invite authors, writers, publishing professionals to have casual conversations around craft. Grab your journal, a cup of tea or coffee, and get ready to take notes. This is PTW Office Hours, brought to you by Permission to Write.
So, starting out with the art of writing, I feel like a lot of us want to be... thanks, Leslie. I feel like a lot of us want to be kind of all about the art of writing. And I think that that's really great. But the reality is that, like, if it's only about the art of writing, then maybe we would really only write for ourselves, right? It's kind of like at the point where we're trying to write for the consumption of other people, at that point, it kind of becomes a business because your goal really is to get other people to read your writing, or else you would just be fine essentially with writing in a journal, right? As opposed to actually trying to put it out there. So one of the things that I feel is most important when we talk about the art of writing and the business of writing is just remembering what made you first decide you wanted to write. Because there's going to be so much that happens in the business. And the moment you start trying to like mold your art of writing into a business element, I just don't think it works well that way. You'll never really feel true to yourself. So it's always really important to kind of start with remembering what made you first decide you wanted to write. Like that has to be at the core of it when we talk about like the art of writing. And then when we talk about actually trying to like put a book into the world, it's like what story feels most important for you to tell? Because you'll start to see like as you kind of venture out into the book process and whether you're interested in self-publishing or being on a publisher, you'll start to see like people are asking for certain things. So, you know, you feel like editors are like, oh, I would love to see a story about adopted kids on the spectrum, right? Like they'll kind of just put those things out there. And you just have to be able to write the story that you want to write and then find the right person to connect that to versus actually trying to say, okay, I saw this ask for this, so I'm going to write a story like that. I think it's just so important to like start with your whys, what made you want to write in the first place? And then two, what story do you really want to write? And how that ties into the business of writing is because you are going to be reading that story ad nauseum, right? So you are going to, I cannot tell you how many times I've read Good Morning Love. I've read it a lot of times. And so I think it's really important to kind of start with a story that you're actually really passionate about because it becomes so cyclical. It's like I always think about artists because I also work in music. I always think about artists and how they write a song that's one period of time and then they end up performing that song for a lifetime. I heard somebody talking about like Beyonce might perform like Dangerously in Love or something at her new show. And it's like that song at this point is so old, but it's like when we create our art, it's the idea that it really does live forever, right? So I think it's really important that we start with stories that feel really important for us to tell. And then I also feel like it's important to keep in mind like what you love about the written word and what keeps you excited. Again, that's kind of just along the same lines of like so much about business and creativity can really crush kind of your spirit, quite frankly. I mean, that's just like as authentically as I can put it. And so you have to really kind of have these kind of solid core values when you're bringing a project to the table to market it and exemplify it and like push it past just like your own personal network. It all these things kind of have to be working together to keep you motivated and keep you grounded in the process. So in that, there's a couple things that feel really important to remember about publishing, right? So all of those elements, those questions that I'm asking really have to do with the art and the love of writing, right? And kind of really starting your journey. But there's some things that are really important to remember about publishing, right? So one is that talent is not as big of a factor as we seem to think it is. And I know that we realize that when we look at actors, when we look at singers, when we look at all these creative people, maybe like goodness, like painters, like actual like visual artists and stuff like that too. We're like, oh my God, I know this person and they're so talented. They have so much talent, but they don't seem to be as far in their career. They don't seem to be getting the opportunities. What is that about, right? And I think like being someone who's worked in music for 12 years and then has also like simultaneously had creative pursuits, it's because talent is literally probably like 10% of it. And that's not science, but that is my personal view on it, that talent is literally 10%. And some of the other things that I feel like make up that other 90%, I know, Leslie, I know. I think it's like 10%. Maybe I'll give you 20. Maybe I'll give you 20. But the other 80, 90% to me are you coachable, right? That is the biggest thing to me. Are you coachable? Can you take direction? Does everything have to be your way? Or are you open to hearing it another way, right? Like, are you coachable? Two is, are you confident? That's a big one, because again, being around and a lot of artists, a lot of times they want to do these things. They want to be the person, right? They want to be the leading person. They want to be the artist that's touring the world. But are you confident? And a lot of times we aren't. I'll put myself in that too, you know, as a creative, like it takes a while to build the confidence. It's like, I am literally 10 to 12 years into my writing professionally career. And I am just now getting to a place where I'm like, no, I know I can write, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think so, like probably like half of that or 3/4 of that 12 years has been just asking myself, am I good enough? Like, oh, am I actually good enough? I think I can do this, but I'm not really sure. And I think like, you know, the last 2-3 years have been like, no, I can do this. Art is subjective. If I'm not somebody's cup of tea, that's okay. But it's not an indictment on my ability to write, because art is subjective. So are you confident? And then the last one for me is, do you know what you want? So many people embark on these creative careers and have no idea what they actually want, right? And so I think that really becomes important, because when you get into contracts and deals with people, you can easily think that you're just going to follow their vision for you. But I think very quickly you realize that they're actually there to help you facilitate the vision that you have for yourself. And if you have no vision for yourself, no matter what great, amazing partners you get or what major publisher you might be on, it's not really going to help you get where you're trying to go, because you don't know. You don't know where you're trying to go. And sometimes we see that battle as creatives, where when you don't know where you want to go and somebody's trying to make the vision for you, you know that you don't agree with it, but you can't tell them exactly which way to go. And anything that you don't make up for yourself, other people are going to fill in the gaps for you. So it's really important to kind of know where you want to go. So even when we think about the conversation between self-publishing and traditional publishing, it's not about one thing being better than the other. It's about asking yourself, what do you want? Right? Because I've been on both ends of the spectrum. Self-publishing is great because you get more quote unquote money, right? Like you don't have to, all your royalty is yours, right? Like you get more income from that. However, you are everything. You're your marketing team. You're your publicist. You're your book formatter. You're everything, right? When you're doing that. And then you, your reach, you know, might only go so far. Whereas if you're interested in traditional publishing, great. You're going to get less off of every book, quite frankly. And then you're going to have a lot of input from other people. And you're still the master of your fate, right? Like, anything people are telling you are always like suggestions, because again, you know what you want, right? So, but you're going to have a lot of other people's opinions and voices to like consider, you know? And so when it comes to making the decision, do I want to self-publish or do I want a traditional publish, is asking yourself, what do I want? For me, it was like, I've done the self-publishing thing. I'm cool. I know how to be a good partner. I know how to be a good teammate. I'm trying to go here so that I can walk into bookstores and my book is there, so that I can be at festivals and panels and book things that I probably couldn't have set up for myself. Like, you know, so it's all about knowing what you want. And then books, with that being said, books are like way more collaborative than we seem to think that they are. So I was literally in another permission to write group meetup, whatever, that we were hosting. And someone was like, well, what if I don't want to edit my book at all? And I literally was taken aback a little bit, because I was like, what? One, because I feel like every writer needs an editor. I feel like if Toni Morrison had an editor, then who are any of us to think that we don't need an editor? However, that was this person knowing what they wanted. And I said, well, you know, if that's the case, then you should definitely self-publish, because there's no way you're going to work with a publisher and they're going to be like, your story is perfect. Oh, yeah. No worries, Leslie. I'll send the link. I'll upload it somewhere. It's more collaborative of a process than we even think that it is. And then Audrey, it'll just be us. but it's really about the editing process is collaborative, the covers are collaborative. I know, it's so weird. I'm like, I feel like there's normally way more folks on office hours, but we show up no matter what's happening. The editing process is collaborative. Covers are collaborative. Genre is collaborative. No worries. So all these elements of publishing are really collaborative. So it's really important to realize that when you're going into more of a traditional publishing situation, that it's definitely a collaborative process. And then this other note on the business of publishing is definitely that networking matters. So a lot of us want to essentially be in a place where we just want to write the book or whatever. And we're not really thinking about this idea around networking and how that's also a part of creating the business around our work. Welcome, Sharon. We had someone else jump off, but glad to have you. When we're thinking about like writing and our art and trying to create a book, it's also like realizing that after you create that art, you're really going to need a community. And there's a lot of purposes for a community. And clearly that's something that's important to us here at Permission to Write, because that's what we do. We do community, we do accountability, right? And so that's one of the factors, is accountability. So it's important as writers to kind of have other people pushing you. So there's various groups that we have here with Permission to Write. We have PTW Power Hour, where we meet for an hour two times a week to write, right? We just put on some music and we just write, and that helps hold us accountable. Like, all right, cool, I'm gonna show up to this thing and I know I'm gonna get some writing done for at least an hour. Then there's like, we have a First 10 Pages group where we're always, it kind of started from writing the first 10 pages of your novel. I had done a workshop last fall. And so those folks that had participated in that workshop were like, oh, we would love to be able to meet weekly to keep giving each other feedback as we kind of move through these projects. And so again, just a case of accountability, so that every time they're meeting, you have to have something, right? So that helps hold you accountable. The other important part about community is going to be, one, just being able to talk to other people about what you do. The First 10 Pages group, Audrey. You can just email me. It's not like an official group that we advertise, but we have kind of been like inviting people as they come. So just email us at hello@permissiontowrite.com and I can get you some info on that. So the other part of it is just knowing that you have other people that you can compare notes with, which is really important, right? Even things when we talk about like advances and stuff like that, you know, you get a book deal and then they offer you an advance, but how will you have any idea like if it's a good advance or not, right? And you can use Google and you can talk to your agent, but it's still really kind of candid to have other people to say, well, this is what I got, you know, and this is why. And it doesn't mean that everybody will get the same thing, but it helps to be able to have those conversations even outside of just like an advance. It helps, you know, for people to say like, oh, well, I got other options of my cover, where somebody else might be like, oh, well, they only sent me one option for my cover. I didn't know that there were others. Like, it just helps us kind of like know what's going on. It's why I like to offer a lot of information about the publishing industry too, because I felt like I was just learning as I went along. So I'm always like very open and honest and willing to share just a lot about the publishing experience, especially for us as like Black and POC writers, because we're already at the margins of the publishing industry. And so I think that the more equipped we are with information, the more success we can find, and hopefully continue to open the doors for other people trying to do the same thing. And so did you get an agent before finding a publisher, or once you get an agent, they will find a publisher? Oh yeah, that's a good question, Audrey. So you typically have to find your agent first, because so like my book was on Simon & Schuster, which is a which is one of the big five, right? And when they say the big five, is because there's a ton of publishing imprints, but they all route back to five different publishers, like Simon & Schuster, Hatchet, HarperCollins, Random Penguin, and there's like one other that I'm forgetting. But like, no matter what the imprint, most of them, the parent company of those are those five publishers, right? And so for any of the imprints that kind of live within the five publishing, the big five publisher structure, you're going to need an agent first, because editors don't take submissions straight from writers. However, there are some smaller indie press that do have open submission periods, where a writer can just submit their project to the press. And then a lot of times, sometimes the press might actually help you find an agent, because it's good to have an agent, because you want an intermediary. You want somebody that can really be speaking on your behalf, kind of, even if it is an indie press. So it's good to have that, but it just depends on if you're like working with an indie press or working with one of these other major imprints. But typically you'll need to find an agent first. And then once you work your story with your agent, you'll begin to shop it to publishers. So the thing about networking and community is that it's really important, not just for like blurbs for your book, which I'm sure you've seen like the small notes on the back of books where it's like, this is the greatest book ever, right? That was the first time that I realized that I needed to know other published writers. And so, of course, I know a myriad of writers from running this community over the last, I don't know, however many years, but since like 2017. So I know a ton of writers, but I didn't necessarily know a bunch of writers that were published authors, because a lot of them might be journalists and have amazing bylines and things like that. But a lot of times when you're looking for those small blurbs on the back of your book, you're like looking for other authors more specifically in your genre, to kind of give your book a kudos or whatever. And then that was the first time I was like, oh, I need to know other published authors. So that really started me to, you know, trying to go to events and just get to know people, you know, not to ask them anything in particular, but just starting to kind of be more intentional about trying to meet other published authors. And then the last note I'll say on networking is just that small interactions matter. So I was invited to an event at a college. I'm like blanking on the name. I think it was Cal State, but I was invited to an event at a college. And, you know, this woman invited me to speak on a panel. There were probably four people in the audience for the panel. So I just want to make that like There were four people there, and a lot of people would go to that and be like, man, that was a bummer. You know, like I only got to speak to four people, but one, you sell one book at a time. So whether there's four people or 400 people, you show up the same. That's kind of even what I said about today, right? Like normally we have more people at office hours and it's a smaller office hours today. I don't care. I'm still going to share the information. I'm still going to show up. And so that is important because the event at SoCal, I met the owner of Malik Books, which is a bookstore here in LA. And so I met him. I think I gave him, we consigned five books of mine for him to sell. And that was great and cool. I left, we met, it was wonderful. Well, you know, a few weeks ago, I got a text message from Malik who said, hey, do you want to sign books at the LA Festival? LA Times Festival of Books, which is a huge literary festival out here in LA. And so I was like, oh, absolutely. That would be great. Thanks for thinking of me, blah, blah, blah. And so that event with four people, right, led me to the biggest literary festival in LA, where I sold over like 23 or something books or whatever, because they ordered a bunch of books for me to sign. Which I had an anxiety attack because I thought no one's going to come to my signing, you know, just being nervous and being a debut author and, you know, not feeling as known as other authors with like such a track record. But we sold mostly all those books. There were two books left by the time we left. And then like, hopefully they sold the books the next day because the festival was Saturday and Sunday. So saying that to say, you just never know where these interactions will lead. Right. Because that was so amazing that he remembered me from the SoCal event, invited me to, you know, kind of like a better event where I was able to flourish and talk to readers and really like meet people and such. So just don't take for granted like these small interactions because they all can really ladder up to something when we talk about the business of publishing. Right. And so to kind of sum it up, and then I just would love to take any questions that you might have as well. I feel like it's important to remember that the art is step one and the business is step two, right? But they have to work together. So I'm always just trying to encourage, like, you have to have the wherewithal to understand that publishing is a business, right? Even though it is a creative business, it's still a business. So it's about being marketable. It's about being a good teammate. It's about hustle. One of the biggest things that I feel like, and I know this from talking to some of the other published authors that I know now, a lot of them thought, oh, if I get a book deal, they are going to do the work for me. And because I have the experience of being a self-published author, I kind of knew that I still had to have some hustle and very much do and do, y'all. I'm out here all the time trying to make opportunities for myself. And so you very much do get a great support for your book. You get an editor. You get an editor. You get marketing people. You get a publicist. You get all these amazing things. But I think it's really important to remember, too, that once your book launches, they have to move on to their next title, right? And so I had a fabulous run. I, you know, did events in Atlanta and D.C. and, like, you know, felt like I had my own little mini book tour. And I was doing book clubs and doing interviews and podcasts and, like, all this stuff around launch. And my book launched in June of last year. And so once I got to, and stuff was going like June, July, I think even we had stuff in August, like down at the beach and like all this stuff. and then it got to like September and it was like a hush falls over the crowd, you know? And you get to this point and you're like, okay, what do I do now? But the good thing for me was that, like, even though I had a moment of like, oh, well, what do I do now? It's very quiet. I went from hearing from my editor and my marketer and my publisher and my agent, like, every day to I haven't heard from them in weeks, you know, because they're on, again, like, on to the next thing. And so it was just like a second of regrouping. But once I regrouped, I was like, okay, I know how to do this. I know how to network. I know how to keep making content. I know how to keep my book alive. And that, you know, really led me to a lot of different things. Still being able to, like, connect on panels, meeting a fabulous group of authors, like, here in LA. One of them invited me to be their conversation partner for their book launch. And shout out to the booksellers that support debut authors, because they also ordered like a gang of my books, and it was beautiful. We went to the event and everyone was there for that author, but they bought my book too. They were like, oh, we're going to buy your book and support you too. And these are just like such fabulous opportunities that didn't come from the publisher, but came from me being one, just genuine. Cause, you know, clearly I love writers, right? I love writers. I love talking about writing. I love being around it. That's why this community exists. So there's a genuineness to it, but there's also a business way that it has helped me continue my career by being in alignment with other people that are doing what I'm doing and are at the level that I'm at, debuting, you know, and really trying to build and establish themselves as writers. So just kind of remember that the art is step one, because those things of remembering why you first decided to write, what story feels important enough for you to tell, what you love about writing, because we write because we have to, not because it's a cool thing to do or because it is the fastest way to get rich, because let me tell you, it's not. So most of us are writing for some other reason. But that if you want to find success in establishing a career as a writer, maybe hopefully eventually getting to the promised land of writing full time, which, by the way, is very hard for most of us. Most of us are balancing another job. I happen to work in music and write, but a lot of the other authors that I know, they teach and write, which is similar. It's still, they're trying to find something that's consistent for them and their writing practice, because the way publishing is set up, it's not a get rich quick at all. Advances come in multiple payments. They don't even pay you your full advance all at once. You know, they don't do that. So until you really become one of these, you know, the Taylor Jenkins Reid or Angie Thomas or Jasmine Galori, like, you know, these really kind of like superstar authors, which, you know, I say in quotes because most normal people wouldn't know them if they walked down the street. But I feel like as other writers, we kind of know who they are. By the way, like, I went to an event at the mall with my husband, and it was Jasmine Guillory and Taylor Jenkins Reid. And he was like, there's a lot of people here. And I was like, they're like one and two on the New York Times bestsellers list. And he was like, oh, you know, he's a normal person. He's like, I wouldn't know them. But they're kind of like rock stars in, you know, in the world of publishing. Those people make tons in their advance. They sell a lot of books. Get it. But there's a lot of us that are rank and file, blue collar, so to speak, authors that are trying to make our way. And a lot of us still kind of have to balance the two. I saw your question. Yeah, I don't mind. So I'm like a senior director in membership at the Grammys. So that's kind of like my full-time work, which is very taxing and stressful and stressful, but we make it work. So yeah, that's essentially what I got. I know some folks jumped on later. I am recording, so I'll definitely send a link. I was trying to determine whether I wanted to actually send video or audio. It might just be audio for you to listen to, but you'll be able to catch up on kind of what we discussed. But I would love to just open it up for questions. I mean, y'all jumped on for a reason. I'm not sure if there might be some other things or questions that you might have about this kind of topic around the art of writing and the business of publishing. But I'm here to chat and just be conversational. That's what office hours is all about. So let me know.
Yeah, I have a question. So for you, I know you talked about like, you know, that June to September stretch of like going, but you also have your full-time job in the midst mm-hmm. of that. Like, how did you balance that with just like taking some time for yourself and resting?
Oh, Shanette, I won't lie to you. I'm not the greatest at that. I think it's like, to your point, it's leaning in when I am resting, right? So I don't think that I do get a ton of rest kind of like on the day-to-day. I'm very much a hustler. So I talk a lot about how I write a lot between like 6 to 9, and then I work from like 9 to 7, right? But one of the things that I have kind of tried to really implement for myself is that I only write from 6 to 9, because I used to be in a place where I would like write in the morning, work a whole day, and then be trying to like write until I got tired. And that was too much. So I kind of like shut it in. Like once I'm done work, I just shut it down and I try to like read or watch a TV show or just like do something kind of like normal, you know, get dinner with my husband or whatever. And so I wouldn't say that like I have built in kind of like rest all the time, but when I am, for instance, this is a good example. My birthday was last week and I took off like Thursday and Friday. Those days I like completely shut down. Even like on Friday, like I didn't even pick up my phone. Like I just was like, no social media, no nothing. So I try to lean into the moments when I am going to get time. So like, for instance, I'm nuts right now because I have so much going on at work. Like we're like up against like deadlines and stuff like that. Oh, thank you, B. We're like up against deadlines and stuff like that. And so it's like such a crunchy time and I'm like so stressed, but I know like, one, I know I'm going home in June, which I'm like so excited about because I've been like very homesick in LA. And so, you know, I get to go home in June. So I'm like just holding on till I get there. And then I'm off 4th of July weekends or the week of 4th of July. We get a week off. Nice. So I'm like looking forward to that. And then I get to go on a writing thing. At the end of that month too. So it's just like, I will work crazy up until the off times. But that's just for me because I am so passionate about like building my writing career. So it's like, and I know that eventually I want to transition out. Like I love working for the Grammys and I love working in music. But my interest has changed. Like when I started working for the Grammys, it was because I wanted to be a songwriter. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like I'll make connections in the music industry and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my interest has shifted because I've worked there for 12 years. So now I'm like much more interested in writing books and running this community and stuff like that. So like eventually I would like to be able to transition out of that. So knowing that, I'm like, well, I can't play around and get caught up in the rigmarole of just like working a job. So I got to get up from 6 to 9 to write because I know where I want to go. And so one thing that Audrey will know that we talked about earlier is like knowing what you want.
Yeah.
And me knowing what I want really helps me to like hone in, kind of work like a crazy person, but then also know that when it's time to rest, like we really rest and we're really not trying to like do too much.
Yeah, right. Thank you. And also happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Any other like questions or thoughts like around this kind of idea around the art of writing and the business of publishing? B? Oh, you're still muted if you're.
Oh, okay. So anyhow, yeah, so jumping off, hi, it's good to see you.
You too.
You've been well. Yeah, so jumping, piggybacking rather off of the last question, you know, I'm so inspired by don't know how the hell I can take this hand raise. I'm inspired by the WGA and the writers in that sort of cadre, that union rather. You know, standing up for themselves, for their pay, for their work, for their recognition. And for me, writing always came like, you know, as a personal thing, like journaling. And then I decided, oh, maybe I want to be a journalist. And then like activism got in the way. So, or not in the way, but it became a part of it. And I'm curious, like, your focus is writing, and writing is so broad, but how do you see it from your perspective? Like, ways that we could like activate the people who are in writing and publishing. You know, I know the WGA is for screen, right? And so, you know, the folks who are really inspiring in that movement that's happening right now are a lot of multi-hyphenates too, and Black people and folks who have really great shows like Shonda, like Boots Riley, and even you know, oh my gosh, Quinta, you know, mm-hmm. writing. And so I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or sort of like, and if anything's brewing about how we can just like uproot the industry towards like getting more writers and stuff like involved in something radical and like building a community. Because I actually think based off piggybacking off of that other question that rest is rarely revolutionary. And I think that something will like inspire us maybe if we could do that. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that the WGA has to its advantage is that it's been around a very long time, right? And so there's no authors union, you know, not that I know of anyway. And so I think like the tricky part about that with publishing is like the fact that there's not one place like unifying authors particularly. So we did see that collective power with Harper's Collins and the folks that work there striking, like the lower level staff striking. And so I think like for us specifically when it comes to publishing, it almost feels like there's not enough of us in there yet to exercise the collective power. Whereas I feel like for the WGA, you've had like, it's a very diverse set of writers and folks that are not only writers, but like showrunners and directors that can also exercise that collective power. Where like, to me, a bunch of like Black and POC authors striking from publishing isn't going to be the thing that gets published in the shift, because they're just going to be like, all right, we was good anyway. We're 88% white anyway, right? So it's kind of like, it won't make the dent that we think it will until like we also have those people kind of more so in positions of power that can collectively kind of make that change. So I feel like you have those, some really good pioneers like Lisa Lucas at Pantheon, and just other folks that like see the disparity in publishing and are trying to figure out the ways to like help. And I think it's just like us, you know, kind of being aware of those things and then like figuring out at what point we can really jump in. And then I know like just for us here at Permission to Write, you know, our revolution kind of starts with information, because we feel like a lot of people don't have information about how to be traditionally published. And so that's kind of where at least we start, right? It's just like making sure people feel really equipped to understand the publishing industry, how it works, and like how to be successful in it. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, it's funny you bring up WGA, because I definitely was thinking about like what that looks like for publishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's inspiring. And I mean, I think it's inspiring what Trisha Hersey is doing with Rest. To go back to, I don't remember the person's, Audrey's question, but, you know, that's publishing, you know, that's writing. And yeah, anyhow, I'm sorry, someone else had the question, but thank you for your answer.
Oh, yeah, no worries. No worries.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, listen, rest and living is important for the art of writing, right? For the creative experience. You have to like live life to have something to write about, you know? So absolutely. I just try to be really conscious of seasons of work and seasons of rest, right? But it's like, it's seasons where you're going to have to bust your ass. Excuse my French. Like, it is what it is. Like, there's going to be seasons of that, you know? And I think there's going to be seasons, you know, hopefully the fruit of, you know, the seasons of hard work, that the fruit of that are seasons of a lot of rest too. Because yeah, you're no good for anybody if you're ran ragged, which like I currently am, right? But I know that like, I'm like, it's coming. My rest period is coming. And I'm going to enjoy it. The Ata had a question. I'm down with a question. When you don't have any money or an audience, is it more important to focus on getting published or applying to literary contests / competitions or both? You don't have any? This is a good question. You know, when you don't have any money or an audience, is it more important to focus on getting published or find the literary content of competitions? You know, I kind of feel like maybe a little bit of both, you know, because to me, I mean, I can only speak from my experience where my novel started from trying to get into a writing fellowship that I didn't get, you know? So it's like, I just took my 20-page sample and said, like, screw this fellowship. I'm going to keep writing this story because I think it's important, you know? But go ahead if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I kind of, I was thinking sometimes the world of publishing just seems like such a big, it's quite a maze, you know? And so I was thinking, should I just try to get a piece published or maybe just try to look and see if I can find multiple contests and just to get my name out, that maybe do you end up coming into publishing maybe by getting your name out if you get one win under your belt out of many? You know, I wasn't sure. I was just thinking of different avenues to get it done. I mean, I guess you don't give up on publishing, but is there other things that you could do as well? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I love that question. And that does help me kind of like formulate an answer. So I think the important thing to remember is that like publishing is kind of like its own world. And yeah. So even though I have been writing for a long time freelance and like had bylines and like apartment therapy and like The Cut and such, it still didn't really apply to me being a fiction writer.
Yeah.
Like it was okay to include that stuff in my query letter because it did showcase like, well, someone has paid me to write something. And that maybe matters a little bit, but it still was no proof of concept of like, could I actually sell books? Okay, so gotcha. I just think like to your point,
it's like, almost two separate things.
Yeah, like a little bit, like it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you to like get a byline or to get, you know, published in a literary journal or to get a fellowship like that. It's not going to hurt you. Yeah, like residencies and retreats and stuff. Like all that stuff is all going to help you, but it's not going to necessarily get you the deal, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand. Yeah,
the story is going to get you the deal. Do you write nonfiction or fiction?
I write both, but I'm really more of a short story writer. I haven't quite gotten to a novel yet. It's more of just short stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do either multiple short story for like an anthology, but maybe put one short story somewhere. You know, I'm not sure. So I'm trying to push past a short story, but that's more of my area, short story writing.
Yeah. And that helps. And like even to let me see who said it. Yeah, even to Sharon's point, like, yeah, sometimes even though those other opportunities can lead to like your publishing journey, right? So I talk about it all the time that a friend of mine had written a piece for Shondaland. And an agent read the piece for Shondaland and was like, hey, whenever you're ready to do your book, make sure you send me your proposal. Right. So there's always going to be that element of like, and I've gotten a lot of opportunities like that. When I announced that I had my agent, the acquirer and editor at Simon & Schuster actually DM'd me and was like, hey, make sure I'm on your list for submissions. Now, we submitted the book to other places, but she ended up being my acquiring editor at Simon & Schuster. So it's never going to hurt you to be building up. And I had no idea that an editor from Simon & Schuster was following me, by the way. I was just like, oh, like, you know, I didn't know what to think when I saw her DM. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know you followed me. And it was really my work at Permission to Write. She was like, oh, I love what you're doing with Black and POC writers. Right. And I was like, oh, like, even that, I'm always thinking we're like this little community that could, you know, and it's like people are watching constantly, you know, what you're doing. And so I think all those things can only help you. But I don't think you need all those things, because when you're ready to pitch, it's going to be your story, really, if you haven't published anything else before. You know what I mean? It's a story that people say we want to take a gamble on it. And a lot of published authors don't have like huge audiences for fiction. Nonfiction is a different thing, because that does tend to be very like celebrity and expert driven. But when it comes to fiction, a lot of... you know, especially because I'm a part of like a debut author group out here, like I might have the most followers, but a lot of their books are doing really well. Like, you know, they've been picked for book clubs and all this stuff. So it's not like one-to-one, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Let's see. How did I find my agent? Yeah, so I literally went through the regular process of pitching agents. Like, I had one author offer to introduce me to their agent, but that didn't pan out because it's always better when you can get a referral for an agent. But I literally did the research. Thanks, Sharon, for sharing that. Ciara, there's a... the Key West Literary Festival is looking for short stories. So definitely something to look into. But yeah, me finding my agent was literally doing the research, right? So I was on MSWL. Anybody that's actually a part of Permission Granted knows like we're actually in the midst of a series around finding the right agent. So I literally looked in the acknowledgments of books that I was reading, was on Twitter, because a lot of, before Elon Musk, because Lord knows what's going to happen with Twitter now, but Twitter was the place for writers. I feel like a lot of people have disappeared from Twitter, quite frankly, post Elon Musk. But prior to, that's where a lot of agents and editors hang out because it's words. So clearly, most of us gravitate to that. And so I did a lot of research to put together a huge list of agents. And I literally sent my query letter to a bunch of agents and got a lot of no's. 2019 was a lot of like no's. And then literally at the beginning of 2020, one of the agents that I had pitched said, hey, I would love to have a call with you. I had two agents that were interested in representing my work. Once I had the call with my current agent, I went back to, because the process is that like, once an agent kind of offers you representation, then you need to go back to the other agents that requested your full manuscript and tell them, hey, I got an offer from an agent. Would you be able to read within 2 to 3 weeks so that I can get back to the agent? And this is a normal practice. So no agent should be pressuring you like because they offered you representation. Like they shouldn't be like, you have to tell me yes or no tomorrow. No, because they know the process and they know that if you have other agents interested in you, that you have, you know, you should be able to give them a window of time to read or to read your full. What happened for me was the other agent that was interested in my book was honestly probably more established than my current agent is. However, she took long to finish reading the full. And another agent who I wasn't pitching or anything, but I was going to some of his events in Philly, again, that networking piece. He was like, you should go with whoever's most excited about your book, because if someone's taking long to read your full, that could be an indicator of where you're going to fall on their list. So even though they're quote unquote a bigger agent at a more reputable agency, sure, that could look like more opportunities for you and stuff. But at the same time, you're probably at the bottom of the totem pole of their list. right? Versus going with a newer agent and being higher on their list because you might be one of, you know, the more established writers on their list. So that was kind of how I landed with my current agent. And that was the process, but it was literally just sending query letters about my book. Any other questions at all? We have like 4 minutes left. We have like time for one more question. Yeah, Sharon, it's big because, you know, your agent, like, no one's going to sell your book like you can. That's first and foremost, right? So you got to be the best salesperson for your book. But the next best salesperson for your book should be your agent, right? And they should be really excited about your story. And that was one of the things that I loved about working with my agent. I felt like even in that first call, it was like, oh my God, I love this story. And this is what I'm thinking. And oh, it'll be wonderful here. And we just matched energy, which was nice. So those things are really important for you to try to gauge when you're selecting an agent, because it's a big choice and it can be like a headache to like have a great agent and then like it not work out and have to find a new agent, which does happen for a lot of people as well. I know L'Oreal, who's a part of our community, has talked about that a lot, how she had one agent. It was not going how she would have liked. She had to kind of like pick up and find another agent, and that's not like not a great process. So it's definitely important to try to make sure that y'all are going to be a good fit for each other, which again, we're talking about in the craft for the next couple weeks. Any last question for y'all? I mean, if I might ask, where is everybody, like, where are you in this process? Like, what made you want to hear information about the art of writing and business of publishing? If anybody wants to share, either in the chat or unmuting.
I'll go. I have, like I said, a history of, like, you know, being in writers group, being in writers groups as a teenager, and journalism, stuff like that. That kind of training and like interviewing folks, and the writers group that I was mostly in was like, it's housed in a historic independent feminist bookstore in Atlanta, so. Mm-hmm. That we got to meet like Alice Walker, because that's her like political home. Mm-hmm. You know, Alice Walker and Shea Youngblood, and Shea Youngblood was one of my favorites, and things like of that nature. And so, you know, I worked there for a while, and where I'm at personally is, oh, and then, you know, I went to Oberlin. And, you know, thought I was going to focus on writing there. And that was was a challenge. But there are so many people from my graduating class who are writing for TV, you know, like Lena Dunham and even Sarah Violet Bliss and Ben Sinclair. Like, I'm just like, yo, how do you make this work? You know, I know there's a difference between where I'm coming from and where they're coming from socioeconomically, et cetera, et cetera. But it has always been a passion of mine, and as well as music, which I love that you work in music. But I know publishing is complex, and I do know that writing is also complex in terms of, you know, sticking with it, focusing, continuing to see a story through, finding the right editor. I mean, I spent a lot of time editing and helping folks for other folks, right? But I want to get back to my own work. And I just, you know, I see a lot of other people's success. And, you know, I'm basically looking for ways. And I've been published in other people's works. I've been published in anthologies. I've been published in journals. I've been published for speaking. I've been published for whatever. I've won writing contests. You know, things like that. But yeah, it's like about sort of the trajectory where you see yourself going in terms of your skill and your passion. And that that's why I'm here, you know. And, you know, one of the last things I want to say is that same bookstore, you know, I would like house or host the, when writers would come in, and the Natalie Basile, the woman who wrote Queen Sugar, I did a book reading for her and met her, and we talked a little bit, but that process does interest me, not just going from writing to publishing and finding the agent, but what is that between where there is that audience there's that audience for fiction that wants to see that fiction placed, you know, they want to see it. And I mean, that is like, I know that's major. My goals are always so incredibly lofty, but whatever that process is, that is the process that totally fascinates and intrigues me.
No, I mean, and it's super feasible. You know, I always come from a place of like, I knew nothing about publishing. I have no industry connections. I did not grow up knowing any other published authors or writers. I didn't have an aunt or uncle who wrote a book. Like, you know, I didn't have any of those things. I'm from Philly, you know, and just thought I could do it, right? So like, just thought I could do it and did a lot of research and did it. And so it's really a dream. And that's why it's so important for me to want to share as much as I can to help other people realize that like whatever it is feasible. Like I'm working on things to try to get, you know, Good Morning Love onto screen too. It's really hard to get stuff optioned. But you know, it happens. It happens all the time. People are always looking for great work. There's a whole book to film pipeline that happens, right? Like a lot of directors, producers always get books because books make great stories. So it happens, and it's good to have those lofty goals. But it's always great to hear from you all just on where you kind of are in the journey. I'm always shaping things for Permission to Write just based off of you all's needs, because it's really not about me. Because quite frankly, I would tell you that it takes up a lot of time and costs a lot of money to run this community, but it's like, it's really like a passion point for me. And so I'm always just trying to make things that feel advantageous to you all's journeys. So thank you for sharing with me where you kind of are. It always helps like inform the things that we do. So with that being said, we're right at the hour. I know we're like 3 minutes over. I know everybody has to get on about their day, but I hope this was helpful. Thanks for joining, Audrey. Thanks for sticking in there as folks are kind of dropping off and joining. But yeah, I'll make sure to put this somewhere and make sure that everyone has the replay. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Friday.
Thank you for listening to PTW Office Hours. We hope you got something out of the conversation. You can follow us on Instagram at Permission to Write, on Twitter at Perm to Write, and stay up to date through our website, permissiontowrite.com. Join our community that works to amplify and cultivate the voices of Black writers and writers of color.